Welcome to The Construction Show. I'm your host, Jared Downey. Today on the show, we have Skyjack. I'm pretty excited. This is a little bit of a personal excitement for me because my first company was like a home exterior, siding, railings, eaves trough, that sort of thing. So I kind of cut my teeth in construction up on the machines like Skyjack makes. Probably wasn't the best operator, so not the poster child for it, but it was a lot of fun those years doing it. So I'm quite excited to have Skyjack on. Corey Connolly, he is the senior product manager. Corey, welcome to the construction show.
Thank you for having me.
Let's just start. How long have you been with Skyjack?
I've been with Skyjack for 18 years, based out of Guelph, here where our global headquarters are. So over the 18 years I've been with Skyjack, I've had a variety of roles in both marketing and product development. Right now, I'm the senior product manager overlooking both our area work platforms and telehandler product lines globally.
Out of not counting this one, because obviously this one's your favorite, but out of all the roles you had previous, what was your favorite role?
I would say probably working on the communication side and the marketing side, because that exposed me to a variety of different people and places. So that was fun. And that helped me get more familiar with the products and the industry as a whole.
So how long ago were you working on the marketing side?
Probably the last time I was working on the communication side would have been over 10, 12 years ago. So I've been on the product side for just a little over 10 years.
So on the product side, can you just expand on that? Have you been a part of actually designing the machines themselves?
Not designing, but mainly responsible for managing the life cycle of the product. So from its inception to its discontinuation. So a lot of times what we're responsible for is kind of drafting up the business case, identifying products and even needs for our existing product, things that we may need to improve or change on our existing products. So a lot of times creating the business case and then working with our different functional groups, including the engineering design team to kind of execute it.
Can you just give everybody a lot of people watching this are going to know who Skyjack is already, but there's going to be someone who doesn't. So can you just give us that sort of bird's eye view of the company?
Yeah. So Skyjack is an established manufacturer of area work platforms and telehandlers. We supply our equipment primarily to the construction equipment rental sector. And like I was mentioning before, we do supply our machines globally. So we're supplying our equipment into North America, South America, Europe, and the Asia Pacific regions. Those are the biggest markets that we supply our equipment into.
What is the sort of the product known for? Every manufacturer sort of has a reputation. What would you say, Skyjack? Where do you think they stand? And I know you know the answer because you worked on the comm side.
Yeah. Well, and I guess to give a bit more context on the history of Skyjack as well. So Skyjack started manufacturing aerial equipment, specifically scissor lifts, around 35 years ago. So at the time, we were focused mainly on the scissor lifts. And then obviously over time, our product line has grown considerably. So now we're a full line supplier of not only scissor lifts, boom lifts, mast lifts, rough terrain scissor lifts, as well as the telehandlers. So then when we look at what we're focused on and where we're supplying our machines, like I mentioned before, into the construction equipment rental sector, the rental companies are our primary customers. And for them, obviously, machine uptime is critical. They want to have their machines up and running as much as possible. So when we look at what we're doing on designing and developing our product, looking at products that are high in quality, durability, and serviceability is critical. And when you look, obviously, at anything branded with Skyjack, a lot of times you'll see that tag lying underneath, simply reliable.
Yeah.
So reliability is definitely something that we hang our hat on, and it's something that we heavily focus on when we're looking at developing and improving our products.
Let's talk about our heavy industry world tour brought to you by Savannah Equipment, supplying mining equipment worldwide. We are heading to events across North America and Australia and filming episodes on location. Email us at info@crownsman.com to be part of Crownsman's heavy industry world tour. When you see the orange iron of a ditch witch machine out in the field, you can be sure of one thing: a job is getting done. As the leading manufacturer of underground construction equipment, Ditch Witch has been a catalyst of innovation for the industry since the day they were founded. And with a worldwide and world-class dealership network that features over 175 dealerships across the globe, this equipment is backed by the best. Learn more at ditchwitch.com.
Studs and helmets use cutting-edge head protection components used previously only in extreme sports helmets, now utilized in both of Studsen's Type 2 models. The SHK1 and SHK1 full brim models are the most innovative helmets on any job site. Offering a revolutionary combination of choroid and twice-me technologies, this Studsen full brim helmet is the first of its kind in the Type 2 category, providing you with the protection and comfort you need to get the job done. Saving lives one helmet at a time. Studsen, where safety meets innovation. You can visit them at studsen.com to learn more.
How important is simplicity in the design for operators? Again, I kicked off the show that I've been on the I've been on telehandlers, I've been on the articulating booms. That's probably where I spent most of my time. They're tons of fun to operate, by the way. For anybody who hasn't, they're a blast, especially when you're like 19 years old. You're going up there, it's great. But it's also, especially like the articulating booms, you're out in the weather a lot of the times. Like I'm here in the Lower Mainland in Vancouver. You're working in all types of conditions. Really important to have ease of use because it's not always the best weather conditions that you're working in. How important is that, or how much is that built around the conversation when designing these machines?
So yeah, there's a couple of things to look at. One, obviously from an operator standpoint, you want them to be as simple and straightforward as possible to understand how to operate the equipment. The other side is from a service and maintenance standpoint, you want the machines to be as serviceable and accessible as possible. And then obviously talking about the different environmental conditions that they're going to be exposed to, it's important that the machines are going to stand up to those type of conditions. There's the different environmental conditions, and then there's different sites of job site conditions than debris that the machines might be exposed to. So it's definitely something that it's important that needs to be considered.
This is sort of an off-tangent question, but I am curious. Do the machines, like extreme cold, like, well, you're in Ontario, so you know think about the harsh conditions, but you're also global, so you'd be in operation where there's extreme heat and that. Does anything about the machine change based on where it's being sent to?
So generally, when you look at like our standard equipment, they are designed for operating in the different environmental conditions. So we would have a similar machine that would be operated in, say, Canada. They could be operating conditions down to minus 20 degrees Celsius, and that same machine could be used in conditions that could be upwards of plus 40 degrees Celsius. But we also have different options available too that can better support some of the local requirements. So a machine in Western Canada that might be exposed to more extreme cold conditions, we do have different cold weather options available for some of our machines.
What would be an example of that?
So we have, for some of our rough terrain engine powered equipment, we have different weather packages that have different hydraulic oil, different engine oil, battery blankets. You could have block heaters for the engines as well.
So what is the model then of going out? Is it all through like rental companies? Is it like what is the actual business model for your product getting to market?
Yeah, so the way our equipment is distributed is through the rental companies.
Okay.
So primarily they're used as a rental piece of equipment, but then if somebody else like yourself, say, wanted to purchase one of our machines, we would direct you to one of our customers in the rental industry as well.
Oh, okay.
So the way we support our customers, the rental companies, is not only just supplying them the equipment, but also supplying them with the tools to be able to service the equipment as well. So we have a product support team that provides a lot of their time, spends a lot of their time training our customers so that they're self-sufficient in servicing the equipment. So then when we would sell them or sell you the equipment through them, they would also support you on the service and maintenance side as well.
So that would include any, like what we just talked about, if you're in extreme weather and that sort of thing, they'd be set up to provide service for all that.
Yes.
You're sitting in front of two very specific machines. So I think we should probably touch on those. What is, I see a model number for one of them. The other one's sort of blocked. What are those two units you have behind you?
Yeah, so these are our two newest machines that we're looking to take to market in North America, our SJ3213 Micro and SJ3219 Micro. So these machines are kind of entering a new class for us, lower level access, which we think they should be a significant entry into that class. When we look at the history of that class, it's definitely been growing over the more recent years. Generally, in the past, low-level access, there's always been a need for it, maybe not so much on the rental side. There's always been scaffolding and push-around type lifts. Yeah. But now we're kind of seeing a bit of a shift being driven by a couple different things. One, on the safety side, there's more focus on moving away from, say, like ladders and moving into what may be deemed as more safer types of equipment. More accessible types of equipment, and then also the conditions that the machines are used on, types of flooring that may be a bit more sensitive to higher machine weights. Obviously, these machines being titled as a micro implies obviously that the machines are a bit smaller. So looking at more compact dimensions and lower gross vehicle weight is important for serving those like sensitive flooring areas.
Reduce tire-related production interruptions and enhance vehicle safety with Doran tire monitoring systems designed for off-road, earth-moving, and industrial equipment. Real-time access to accurate, reliable tire pressure and temperature information helps operators and supervisors maximize equipment performance and tire life. Doran tire monitoring systems are designed to withstand extreme operation conditions while featuring simple installation and low maintenance. Visit DoranMFG.com for more information on how Doran can help reduce equipment downtime and improve safety. LNH Industrial can custom engineer and build from the ground up any heavy equipment assembly or machine that you need for your operation. Their worldwide 24/7 field services network is on the job whenever you need heavy equipment troubleshooting, repairs, rebuilds, relocations, or replacements. And thanks to their specialized design and engineering and state-of-the-art manufacturing and repair services, they are a go-to international supplier for improved components and custom assemblies for heavy industrial machinery. Visit LNH.net to learn more. DMH manufactures CNC lathes for seal production, semi-finished materials for seal manufacturing, as well as machine seals. But they are much more than a seal manufacturer. They supply the technology for seal manufacturing in the form of machine seal software and tooling technology. Altogether, this allows the simple manufacturing of nearly every seal within the shortest amount of time. Their products are also used in a wide range of industries such as mobile hydraulics, mining industry, heavy industry machinery, oil and gas, wind energy, renewable energy, aviation, food and pharmaceutical industry, transportation, and automotive industry. To learn more, you can visit them at dmh.at. Seal technologies of the future, already today.
Where what kind of applications would this get used? I know it's sort of self-evident in some of them, but I think we actually should go through a couple of them. So where would they be applied?
Yeah, so there's a variety of applications. And again, they would be using a lot of similar applications that larger, similar scissor lifts would be used. But then there's a lot of other application in areas that they would be used in that maybe the larger lifts would not be a good fit for. So a lot of industrial and institutional settings like hotels, hospitals, schools. You've also got different manufacturing maintenance areas as well. So one of the other benefits of these machines with their compact dimensions, their low gross vehicle weight is that they can be transported through a standard doorway without having to fold the rails down. So they come with solid rails as standard, where some larger scissor lifts may have hinged rails that you would have to fold down to transport through a doorway. The other benefit of their low weight is that most of them can be transported in a standard elevator as well. So when you're in that type of maintenance or industrial setting where you may have to transport the machines to within a multi-story building, that's a benefit obviously of the smaller machine. So, and then you've got use in other applications where you need to obviously be accessing tighter spaces, could be around like duct work, beams, and like I was mentioning before, anywhere where there's sensitive flooring. So it could be finished decorative flooring, it could be within a data center or data farm, and then they'd also be used for any type of finishing work as well, like painting or any type of work that you may see at the end of a construction job.
You say they could go in like a standard elevator?
Yes.
How much do they weigh? How much does a small unit weigh? Well, both.
Under 2,000 pounds.
Under 2,000. And a lot of those elevators are kind of 2,500, 3,500?
Yes.
Right? Or I guess more than that. I'm just trying to think of when I see those little like 13. Are you talking about like an elevator you'd see in like just a regular building?
Correct. Yeah.
Wow.
Just a standard passenger elevator.
Wow. So that, now I don't know if you know all the research behind it, but where did sort of Skyjack see that market? Because it's an interesting thing to, anytime any company is trying to push into it, sort of a new area. What is sort of motivating that investment in bringing these online?
Well, I think a big part of it is just that move away from the type of gear and equipment that was used in the past, like ladders. And if you want to be able to move away from ladders and you want a piece of equipment that is a bit more mobile, that you don't have to necessarily just be pushing around, then you're looking, when you're looking at a self-propelled lift, then you're having to obviously look at a much more compact machine than what was available at the time.
So how big is does the larger one fit through a door as well? It looks, maybe just how they're set up, it looks considerably bigger than the other one.
Yeah, so when you look at them, you've got basically the machines are very similar. The base of the machine, the platform is the same. The only thing that is different is the scissor stack itself. So the bigger machine has one extra level on it.
Oh, okay. Like, so it's just the illusion of the way that they're set
yeah,
up.
Yeah, just the way they're positioned behind me.
So are these out in the market yet, or are they, where are they at?
So we will be going to production in a couple months. So in Q2 of 2024, we will start production on these machines.
I just want to expand a little bit on just the market. Like we do, this is a construction show. Everything is, a lot of the episodes we do, it's like bigger, better. It's just everything capacity. It's all about this. You're kind of going the other way on these. Can you just expand a little bit more on just sort of the approach, finding that gap, finding the right fit, the right size, where it's actually the market's got a demand, and just kind of give us a scope of how you approached it.
Yeah, no problem. So yeah, one of the more recent trends as far as equipment development has gone within our industry has been a lot more bigger machines, dimensionally, height-wise, also increasing capacities. Where on with these machines, it was kind of a bit of balancing the two, where it's like you're constraining the dimension, but also trying to maintain that capacity. So that was obviously something we had to work with when we looked at trying to keep the dimensions as constrained as possible, while also maintaining that capacity, and also at the same time trying to reduce not only the gross vehicle weight of the machines, but also the floor loading as well. Cause that's critical. And what I talked about before,
yeah,
looking at operating these machines on sensitive decorative flooring, finished flooring, it's not only just the weight of the vehicle and the machines, but also the weight of the floor loading as well, and the amount of pressure that they're putting on the floor underneath them.
I was actually wanting to circle back to that because you said about like decorative floor, and right away I was thinking about when I've taking machines on like even fresh, like freshly finished concrete, and you're, you know, and you watch those black marks go everywhere. Is it something about the design of these that lessens that sort of damage to those types of floor?
Well, when we look at the design of the machine too, I guess one of the other things that I could bring up is that when you look at our not only our scissor line, but our products overall, we do maintain a fair level of commonality across products and product ranges as well. And these machines are no different. So when you look at the designs of our micro, there's a lot of things that are shared with not only our larger electric scissor lifts, but also our smaller mass lifts as well. And when we mentioned the floor loading, one of the things we did was we looked at integrating in the same electric wheel motors and tires that we use on our mass lifts. So they're a smaller tire, but they do have a nice wider footprint as well. So obviously having a bit of a wider, smaller tire does help lower the floor loading on these machines.
The other thing that comes to my mind is that are these there's such a push right now, especially on the ESG side, to just, you know, reduce emissions and that. Do these sort of play into that? Does that fill any gaps for clients that are looking to do that, like people that are actually purchasing these units for in-house use?
Yeah, that's definitely something that's become a bigger talking point more recently with our customers and their customers, is the search and the requirement for more information on sustainability and how it relates to the products. I think a big reason for that is when you look at changes from different government regulations and legislation, and looking at the different projects from construction and infrastructure that they're driving and the companies they're working with, obviously that trickles down from the contractors to the rental companies, and the rental companies looking at the equipment that they're sourcing into their fleet. And that's why you'll notice on a lot of our newer electric machines, these machines are no different. They've got the EcoMark on there. That not only signifies that they're electric machines, zero emission, but there are some other sustainability benefits as well. Looking at the 19-foot machine, when you compare it to a similarly sized, like standard 19-foot electric scissor lift, the carbon footprint is reduced by about 12-13% on this machine.
Wow. Is that, what do they like to drive? I wish I was actually there and I could jump on one, but what is it like to, because I remember, I know it wasn't your brand, so that's a good thing, but I remember, I think it was a diesel one I was driving. It was a big scissor lift platform, and it would have this delay. You'd hit it and it would go up, and then it would pause, and then it would jump. I was working up on like putting ceiling stuff up, so it was actually very tricky and a little bit dangerous, to be honest. But in these units with the electric, does it sort of smooth it out because the whole drive is electric?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the benefits of going with the electric drive. And I guess going back to what I was talking about before, as far as commonality goes with different products, when we look at some recent product updates we had to our electric scissor line on the larger slab electric scissor lifts, one of the things we just moved to over the last year is electric wheel motors for those machines. So that was something we looked at incorporating into these machines as well, using electric drive motors. So we've gone with maintenance-free AC brushless wheel motors. A few different benefits that they provide. One being maintenance-free. Increased efficiency. They're more efficient than hydraulic wheel motors. Mm-hmm. And then the benefit you get on an operator side, you've got improved performance on not only efficiency but also traction. Torque. When you look at the drive performance too, it's a lot more consistent. So those things I mentioned, like power, torque, traction, it's much more consistent than you would see with the hydraulic wheel motors. So you've got 25% gradability on these machines. And then when you look at the efficiency side, with a comparable model, you would see roughly about a 20% improvement as far as efficiency goes, which also helps obviously with the batteries. So your runtime is longer, you're not charging the batteries as often as well. So from a maintenance standpoint, that should improve on the wear and tear on the batteries as well.
I really wish I could actually drive one of those, but because I know exactly what I'd be looking for. And I imagine just the control with it all, that all electric, is it just... there's not that sort of delay and then that power hits it. It's probably just a very nice, consistent, because I'm thinking specifically, like if you're in these, like, and I've done it, I've worked in these small spaces without that unit, it would have been beautiful to have that, is that sometimes you're trying to get into a very specific spot. And if it's sort of lurching in that, it can actually be quite tricky. You also said something, I kind of missed what you said. It's a 25%. You said like
25% gradability.
What does that mean?
So when you look at the percentage of grade that the machine's rated to climb. So a big thing with these machines, obviously they're typically used on hard compact slab surfaces. They're generally not being driven up any type of grade or hill, but they obviously do need to be transported. They need to be able to climb a ramp to get onto a trailer to be transported between either job sites or to and from the rental yard. So that's why it is still important that they're able to climb a grade.
You did it. You already touched on it, but I wanted to circle back to it as well. Is the lower maintenance on these, is it considerably lower with, like you said, about the brushless motors? But I'm also thinking about like even like leaks, you know, you talk about decorative floors, you got these things in an environment where you can't have like spills and that sort of thing. Do they kind of fill that gap as well for clients?
Yeah, so that's one of the other benefits of using an electric drive on these machines, is when they're being used on those sensitive flooring areas and in some of the job sites, like in an institutionalized setting, there's obviously concern on not only potentially damaging the floors due to the weight of the machine, but also from spills and hydraulic leaks. So obviously by moving to an electric drive, you're reducing the amount of potential leakages on the machine. So now you don't have to worry about any potential hydraulic spills as related to using hydraulic wheel motors.
I'm just curious, just to wrap up, what does it look like when you roll out a new machine like this and you're pushing it into the market? Do you just let your rental companies know that it's available and then they decide if they want to purchase it? Or how do you actually approach getting these in front of the actual end user?
Well, it's kind of a multi-pronged approach. We obviously have targeted advertising and marketing materials to support the launch. We start talking to customers with it. Then we have them at some customer events. We have them at industry shows and like trade shows and events. So
yeah,
we use a variety of different areas to get the machines out in front of customers, in front of people to raise awareness and let them know about the new products.
I promise this will be the last question, but what is the biggest challenge in rolling out a product like this, or even designing it, or just where's the bottleneck when you're trying to put this into the market?
I think when we look at the project as a whole to bring something to market, obviously we want to get our timing right. So when you look at our industry too, there are different buying seasons and we want to obviously try and align with that. So when our customers are looking at buying machines for the upcoming year, it's ideal to have a new product available at that time.
And these products are on your website. I think are they all up there? Can people go check out specs, dimensions, all that sort of thing?
Yeah. So there's information on our website. And like I said, we're going to be starting production in the coming months. And we definitely encourage our customers and anybody interested in these machines to reach out to us to get more information.
Well, next episode, I hope we do another one with you. And I hope it's in person so we can actually, we can both be on, we can do a machine. Well, they're rising. We can do it on a machine. Get a little creative with it. Corey, thank you very much for joining the show. It's lots of fun to have Skyjack. It's, you know, great Canadian company. It's got great product lines. And like I said, it's fun for me because I've actually operated a lot of the shows that I do. I have never actually touched this stuff. But this, I've actually been on a lot of these machines. So it's lots of fun. I really appreciate you joining the show.
Oh, that's great. Thank you again for having me.
And thank you, everybody, for watching. Of course, we'll have links to the specific products that we talked about and to just skyjack.com in the description below. Go check them out. Go check out their YouTube and follow them on LinkedIn. You can actually connect directly with Corey on his LinkedIn as well. We'll have that link as long as he's okay with that. And we'll hopefully, like I said, hopefully we'll be doing more with Skyjack. They've got a huge product line, so there's lots more we could cover. So thanks for watching, everybody. We will see you on the next episode of The Construction Show.